guys, this is Eric Young, and you're listening to Booking the Territory.
Woo, Messi, this is professional wrestler Jimmy Valiant, the Boogie Woogie Man. Tell my people and my brothers and sisters, don't you dare miss Booking the Territory. Oh, yeah.
This is a one-man gang. You're listening to Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast, the most unprofessional wrestling podcast there is. I'm sitting here with Harper and Doc Turter. We are recording this on Wednesday night, February the 14th, 2018. As you can imagine, the wives and significant others are hotter than thick than that of baby. They are mad and pissy. But with that being said, it's Valentine's Day, and I had to hit record, and if you're wondering why I'm giggling a little bit, it's because Harper and Doc are fighting me to get their shit in on Valentine's Day. So I'm going to throw it to Harper first. He already told me he's doing fine off air, but now that we're recording, Harper, what did you want to say before I hit that red button?
Valentine's Day has fucking gotten to the point where I'm driving down a street, they have like inflatable lawn decorations. Of the fucking Cupid shooting the fucking arrow and the big heart, you know? It ain't fucking Christmas. What the fuck is that shit for? And it's one day. Because then they got to take the shit down tomorrow. I mean, what the fuck?
I don't have an answer for you, bro. I just don't. But I agree with you. Doc, you're salty. You are extra salty. You have been itching since Sunday to get to this because you've been aggravated about this since then. So I'll just, the floor is yours.
Everybody, let me tell you something, pal. If you like to be offended, I'm going to run some people off tonight. How about
no,
that?
No, don't.
Let's just get that out of there.
No, don't. As long as you stay away, as long as you stay away from politics, you're fine.
Okay, whatever.
Proceed.
First thing, I cannot stress this enough. We are in the middle, as a nation, all of us, Republicans, Democrats, illiterates, we're in the middle of an epidemic, a flu epidemic. So if you're sick, you think you might be sick, you have the sniffles, keep your punk ass at home. Dude. So we work with a bunch of saps, right?
Yeah, we sure do.
So let's picture the guy, if we had a sap heavyweight strap, this guy would dominate it like Gagne and Bockwinkle in the AWA, pal. He's the king of the saps.
We call him the T-Rex.
Right. Well, when
he's
you weigh 280.
He's got little short arms, he's got little bony looking arms, and he weighs like 400 pounds.
He doesn't weigh 400 pounds, he weighs about 280. But he's been out the last 2 days. Now, I thought he was out with you because you took a planned day off. You know, you took a little vacation time on Monday, reset yourself. Now, this is a guy who's been known to take vacation days that he doesn't have to go furniture shopping. So I thought maybe you and him went and picked out like a nice sectional or whatever.
Fuck you.
But it turns out he had the flu. So he's back in the office today. I go, where you been? And he looks at me with the stench of flu and goes, I have the flu. Bruh, go home. I can't. What? The fuck you can't? Go home. Seriously, he's get paid by the hour. If I'd have known that, I would have written this motherfucker a personal check. Stay your ass home.
Why couldn't he go home?
Hey, but he's a sap. The problem is, Doc's not telling you the full story. The dude lives in the negative when it comes to his like sick time and vacation time and paid time off. So he's a sap. He's just, there's no other way to state it. The dude's a sap. And
Every problem becomes a crisis when you don't have the resources to deal with it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So he gets the sniffles, and it's all of a sudden a breakdown crisis. But if he gives me the flu, and then I have two small children in the house, I'm going to shoot that motherfucker with a gun.
You might not want to say that on an open channel, you stupid son of a bitch. Can we get into... I thought you were going to cut a promo on Valentine's Day today.
Allegedly.
Okay. Now, much better.
Valentine's Day.
Hold on, real quick. You should be in a little bit better mood. We're two weeks away from Starrcade 1986.
That's true.
We're
going to
be covering NWA WCW Saturday Night from November 15th of 1986. We got a hot show coming at these people, and you're fucking pissed off about potential flu.
Well, but everybody's living with this shit. The flu's the great equalizer. You can be rich, poor, dumb, or smart. You catch the flu, it could get your ass. Second of all, most likely, we're all dealing with Valentine's Day. What do you call it, Harper?
What?
Valentine's Day?
What?
Nothing. He's just fucking with you. Stop. Harper, don't pay him no mind.
By the time the Darkaholic, this is, by the way, a reverse spotlight, if you will. Doc's reverse spotlight. Mike, you got your, it's Valentine's Day. Have you exchanged goodies with the missus yet?
Oh, we good. I was telling Harper before we started recording, man. We good. I'm straight. Harper said he's straight, too.
You know what I did, Doc?
Okay. Yeah, well, please.
I was getting the flowers online, right? Just to have them. It was a $5 fee just to have them sent on fucking Valentine's Day, just because it's fucking Valentine's Day. And it was $15 to guarantee it. So it was basically 20 bucks for the shit to show up there fucking today. And then there was a fucking red vase, a bullshit red vase you get at damn Dollar General store, was $15. And I was like, bro, fuck this shit.
I saw these gimmicks at Kroger yesterday. They wanted $249.99.
And so you know what the fuck I did? I had that shit delivered yesterday. And when she got it, I'm like, oh, the FedEx must have fucked up, man. Fuck, you're supposed to get that fucking yesterday.
They came early. I don't know what to tell you.
And here's the work of it all. First, you got worked out of your cash, even though you fought back a little bit. Second of all, she's going to wish there's something that she doesn't mean, so she's lying to you. Oh, you shouldn't have.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, I think you read my text messages.
No, because I got it too, because here's the thing that's hilarious. This, I promise. You know, I don't come on here to lie. I promise. Dude, I went and bought the flowers yesterday and said, you're just going to have to get it a day early. I'm sorry. I cannot go deal with this on Valentine's Day. So she got hers a day early, and guess what I heard? Oh, you shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's bullshit.
You know, back in the day, so then it's like, what do you want? Well, you know, back in the day, you paid people maybe to hang out with you. You know, it's like, you know, for those of us that went to college, some people got into fraternities and sororities and paid money. Maybe you got a hooker or something. Man, I'm old, dude. I pay money for you to go away.
Yeah, really, huh?
Dude, I give you a 20 if you just give me an hour of fucking peace. You know, or maybe here's an idea. Maybe save the card and just let me put it in your butt.
That's nice.
There's the Valentine's Day.
Every kiss begins with K.
Right. He is singing again.
Hey, dude, here's the thing.
Show me that smile again.
So, man, I went down to the Kroger to get my setups, you know, the flowers and the got to get a card. And I got to get a card for me. And then, you know, I got to get a card from the kids. So yeah,
it's triple to work once you have kids, bro. Are you done fussing about this?
Here's the thing. You didn't buy your wife anything. Did you?
My wife got something. Don't you worry about that.
She was
easy to please, man. She was good to go.
She's married to you. She must be.
Yeah.
Stupid ass. All right. Well, we need to get to things.
Hey. I'm not the guy who got worked by Booker T and Corey Graves like you did.
Oh, yes, you are. I was the main one who said that was a work from the get-go.
And sure enough, it turns out to be a work. So I just want to put that out there. I was the main one from the start. Bro, you can't just go around, "I'm going to whoop him. Let me see Corey Graves in the street. I'm going to whoop him." You work for a corporation, bro.
We work in a corporation, and I can get away with a lot. But even I can't get away with saying I'm going to go whoop somebody.
Yeah, if I catch you in the street, I'm going to whoop you. I would be fired immediately as soon as that came to be. And that's that. Okay, well, we'll jump into things. I got a couple of shout-outs. Doc, I'm surprised you didn't lead off with the spotlight.
I was gonna give it the spotlight, but you wanted to talk about Valentine's Day. So I do have the spotlight here. Once again, and I want to say this, too. I see a lot of y'all, that are getting tweet activity with Dutch, trying to get Dutch on the show. We here at BTT support that activity. Good job. Keep it up. I think we're going to end up with Dutch on the show. What do you think, Mike?
Everybody's been tweeting Dutch lately, and I'm hoping Dutch just finally DMs me and goes, because I've said it before. I've tried to land Dutch, and I haven't been successful, but I'm hoping Dutch just DMs me and says, All right, you son of a bitch. Everybody's bugging me. When are we going to do this shit? I'm waiting to get that from Dutch.
Will you get this army to leave me alone?
Right. Because everybody's tweeting them. Everybody's like, "Hey, Dutch." So keep it up. Keep tweeting them. Keep telling Dutch to come on BTT. Yes, we would love to have him and talk some Smoky Mountain with him.
Right. So I see you out there, and your efforts are somewhat appreciated. But I do want to read an email we got here, and I think you told me I could read this verbatim. Is that correct?
Yes, this is from Ruben. He is a doctor just like you.
Well, I need to see some credentials, but thanks, Doc. I started listening to you guys about 2 months ago, so a recent listener. Welcome aboard. I got a chance to hear a few of your older patron shows this week. That's where the gold is. I didn't realize Doc was a PhD. I figured it was just a nickname. It's both. I'm actually a PhD, too. This isn't my work email, though. Well, that's good. I teach sociology at a university in Orange, California. I'm mentioning this because I heard the show where you guys talk about Doc teaching a class about pro wrestling. I do that every Wednesday night for about an hour and a half at a time. I have a lecture on Lucha Libre scheduled this semester in my Intro to Latin American Studies course. I just ordered a BTT and Docaholic shirt. I'll wear one the day of that Lucha Libre class and tweet you guys a photo. I don't tweet or Facebook much, but I'll be listening for sure. Great show, and I'm a Docaholic. Oh, and I'm honored to be the Mad Mexican Spotlight Listener of the Week.
Yeah, you called him a Mad Mexican last week when he signed up to become a patron. That's why he put that in there. Yes, you did. Okay. You don't even remember what you're saying.
No.
So thank you, Ruben. We appreciate that. So you're your Doc Spotlight of the Week.
So you mentioned – that's great. So you mentioned something a few minutes ago, and it is why we're happy because, dude, we're entering Starcade season. You and I had some talking this week. We're going to chop Starcade up over maybe 3 or 4 weeks, man, because this thing is going to be hot, and it's long and hot. Right.
I've done the math on it. I think we can do it in 2 because the matches are so long. But just to give y'all a heads up, if y'all are watching along with us, Starcade is nearly 4 hours. So if you haven't seen it before or haven't seen it in a long time, it's like 3 hours and 51 minutes on the network. Just putting that out there. So,
but that means I gotta watch 2 hours of wrestling that week, dude. Come on.
It's
I'm shit nowadays.
I'm conditioned to 32-minute slices right now.
I know, huh? Fuck.
And Smoky Mountain at 50 feels like it's 3 hours long, man. I'm a pampered, spoiled brat right now when it comes to watching
wrestling.
You're
in a groove with these 33-minute episodes. I will say this, though. It's Starcade 86 is just as good as I remember it, but it is 4 hours, so if you want to watch ahead and get a jump on it, you might want to do so. All right, let me do a couple more shout-outs real quick, and then we'll get into the NWA show from the 15th of November of 86. I got to thank @TheKingChivas on Twitter. So today I decided to, he says, today I decided to cancel a premium podcast membership I had been getting, and instead I have moved my support to my two favorites at 605pod at BTT_podcast, which I honestly should have done ages ago. Thanks for the great work, guys. No problem, King. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And Joshua R. says, I became a patron this week also. Thanks again. He just said, thanks again for everything you guys do. And also, Joshua, let me tell you something. Send me your Facebook or Twitter, and I'll shout you out next week because I don't have that. If I do, just remind me. And then last one, Joe Ice says, I want to thank you, Doc, and Harper for reviewing 86 NWA and introducing me to the greatness of Ron Wright and Smoky Mountain Wrestling in the last year. I grew up in Houston. My favorite childhood show was Houston Wrestling with Paul Bosch on Channel 39. Plus, I could watch NWA on TBS and World Class on Channel 20. So reviewing those promotions during that time period makes me laugh because so much was said and done that as a little kid just went over my head at the time. Speaking of things going over your head at the time, there's a Ric Flair one and Nikita one in this episode that flew over my head back then. I know that for sure. He then says, after getting so much free content over the year, I felt the need to support the best and most entertaining unprofessional wrestling podcast there is. And that's that. So, Joe Ice, thank you. Appreciate that. And we're glad to, you know, provide some much needed, I guess, comedy relief and unprofessional podcasting. Okay, Doc, let's get into this. Doc and Harper. November 15th, 1986, NWA WCW Saturday Night, as always, sponsored by you, the patron out there. If you're not a patron, I'd consider becoming one. tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. It's a great way to support us on an ongoing basis. You get access to the patron-only shows, an opportunity to possibly come on the show with me at the end of one. Once a quarter, I choose someone. But mainly, you get that patron-exclusive content, which right now we're almost at 50 exclusive patron episodes. So support us. Like Doc said last week, we're not going to fucking get advertisers. We're too foul-mouthed. That shit ain't happening. So your patron membership would greatly help. All right, now, let's get into it. So like I said, it's November 15th of 86. Tony and David Crockett are about to open the show, and we're going to hear from Jim Cornette as well. So let's hear what they got to say at the opening of this week's show.
All right, Tony, we just saw the Midnight Express with Big Bubba and Jim Cornette try to take out the Hands of Stone Ron Garvin.
That's one of the matches signed for Starcade, and we're going to get to you in just 1 second, okay?
I'm just listening to you say all kinds
okay.
of nice things.
Now, today, we're going to see the workout on the scaffold from the Midnight Express
yes,
with Jim Cornette. Now, Starcade, the 12 matches are, first of all, a tag team match. Don and Rocky Cornuttle against Tim Horner and Nelson Rowe. You also see superstar Bill Dundee take on Sam Houston. Also, another big tag team match is Baron Von Raschke and Hector Guerrero go up against the team of the Barbarian and Shaska. Another match, Brad Armstrong against gorgeous Jimmy Garvin with Precious. The Indian Strap match, Chief Wahoo McDaniel against ravishing Rick Rude along with Paul Jones. Also, for the U.S. tag team title, no disqualification this time. It's the Kansas Jayhawks against the champions Ivan Koloff and Crusher Khrushchev. You'll also see these matches in a cage, the Rock and Roll Express against Ole and Arn Anderson for the World Tag Team title. Hair versus hair. Jimmy Vine against Paul Jones with Big Mama chances for her hair to get shaved if Jimmy Vine loses the match. And the Raging Bull be high above the ring in a cage. Also a match for the World TV title. First blood match. Dusty Rhodes, Tully Blanchard. Ric Flair defends a world title against Nikita Koloff. And then the Night of the Skywalkers.
Ask me why I'm smiling.
Why are you smiling? Because these guys are going to get 25 feet
yeah.
up in the air.
In one match, we're going to be rid of the Road Wars once and for all. Never have to wrestle them. Never have to look at them. Never have to contend with them again. One match. Night of the Skywalkers. Starcade 86 and the Road Wars are going to be finished. You're going to see the workout later on. But right now, you're going to see them live. Feast your eyes and fantasize. Loverboy Dennis and beautiful Bobby, the Midnight Express.
All right, the main reason I let it play there at the beginning was I wasn't about to run down those matches. Starcade 86 is loaded. Don't get me wrong. Not every single match is a home run. But as you heard from Shivani there, he kind of highlighted the more major ones. There are tons. It's just a loaded matchup, loaded card from two sites, Greensboro and Atlanta. Doc, your thoughts on the little bit that Cornette delivered there, though, and thoughts on maybe they're going to show a training video later of the Skywalkers match.
Well, we'll get to that in and of itself.
Yes.
The thing about it is that if you're playing this straight, and not watching any worldwide or pro, dude, and I assume that would be me and Harper.
Yeah.
We're jonesing for main event level matches because all we watch are these squash matches. So, yeah, the shit talking's great, and it is. But we don't see any real kick-ass matches usually. So when we get to Starrcade, it's like it really was for us poor kids at home, but we get to the payoff to get to see some kick-ass matches. So I'm fucking ready, dude. Now, Corny sure is confident here. I wonder if that will hold out throughout the entire episode.
Yeah, we'll guess we'll see, right? Popper, any thoughts on the opening there?
Yeah, he seems a little fucking overconfident, huh?
Well, it, this thing ends up being the Cornette show this week, too.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, like, I'm not joking. This episode is 32 minutes and 59 seconds, minus commercials and whatever editing WWE did. Cornette's got to like be out there for third. 16 of them.
Yeah.
Do you think so? Well, first of all, some of that is he is who he is, so he's good. And he's natural in front of the camera at an early age. But do you think some of that is that they got there on Saturday mornings and everybody was either no-showing or drunk or hungover or whatever? And since he didn't drink or do drugs, he was the most reliable person they could send out there for that kind of time?
I don't know.
That's true, huh?
Well, I mean, y'all can say that, but you got to remember, Starrcade 86 was known as Night of the Skywalker. So, I mean, it's his – basically, the event – I'm not saying it's being built around them, but they named it Night of the Skywalker. So – you could say that, and while some of that may be true, they're also, they might not be the main, but they're the fucking headliners of this thing. So, I mean, I understand. I see both sides. I see your point, because, you know, it is Saturday morning. We got to get out there, and Corny's amped up. You know, he's always amped up. I mean, he's amped up now. Can you imagine him in his fucking 20s? Good God.
I know, huh?
He's had 10 Sprites and everybody else is trying to do a bump of coke to get right for the 38-second squash match.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe a combination of the two, Doc. Harper, anything else from you?
Nope.
So we go to the first match. It's a quick one. Midnight Express and Big Bubba Rogers versus Lee Peak, Alan West, Vernon Deaton. Midnight's and Bubba win really easily. I mean, nothing much here, so Cornette's team wins. Doc, any thoughts on the match?
Well, they're making sure that the Midnights are going to be coming in looking, in the ring anyway, hot and very powerful. And I don't know why. They did a couple of different things in this match, but the one that popped me the most was when Condry was doing push-ups while he was applying the head scissors. Just dickish. Yeah. Clearly heel crap maneuver. Awesome.
Yeah. Hopper, anything from you?
Dude, I love that Samoan drop fucking Bubba did. Dude, I thought that guy was going to break his fucking arm. It looked dangerous.
I can't remember that, but I did have a note that I thought, like, Bubba's come a long way from the first time we seen him as a enhancement talent just a few months earlier.
And I love watching Bobby, but he like, now people always put him over, like, he's so fucking good. It's just, I was sitting here watching this. It's just a little bullshit squash match. But it's the little things that he does. And when he gets tagged in and the other opponent tags in the new guy, Bobby runs up. And as soon as there's a fresh guy at a ring, he backs up. He goes forward, backs up, goes forward, backs up. Then when a guy comes in, he kicks him in the fucking gut, man. It's the little things like that that just made him so fucking good.
That dude's one of the most underrated wrestlers there is.
Yeah, no shit.
I mean, for every bit of the fact that he wasn't like a good promo guy from what you see, he had it all in the ring. He had it all. He was good even into the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm. When him and Regal.
Yeah. I thought he was good then. I was like, I mean, they didn't do anything with him, but I mean, he was even really good then. So, all right. Well, we'll keep going. Up next is after Cornette's team wins, we got Rick Rude and Jesus Christ.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is going to be culturally insensitive.
This is part of what makes us unprofessional, even though it's not us, it's Rick. Here you go.
Wahoo McDaniel has never lost an Indian strap match. Could Starrcade be the night for him to lose his first?
Well, you know Starrcade's going to be the night for Squahoo McDaniel to lose his first Indian strap match. You know, he'll stand out here and he'll tell the whole nation that he's had over 300 Indian strap matches and never lost a one. But you know, the point is, Wahoo McDaniel has never fought Ravishing Rick Rude. All you got going for you, Red Man, is a little bit of experience. See, the tables are turned towards me. I got the youth, I got the endurance, I got the strength. Squahoo, I'm standing here today looking a whole lot better than you ever looked in your life. And when I walk out of Starrcade, I'm even going to look better than I do today. And I'm going to beat you bloody with your own strap, Indian. When I'm through with Wahoo McDaniels, they're going to have to use a squeegee and a sponge to clean him up off the mat. Now, everybody knows about the hair match that's been signed, right? I guess we've taken everything Jimmy Valiant has to offer. We've taken his hair, taken his money, we've taken his friends. Now he's got to resort to putting his old lady's hair up on the line. Well, that's just fine and dandy for us, because we're going to beat the Indian, we're going to shave Big Mama's head, and we're going to go on home and celebrate Turkey Day the Ravishing Way.
Ravishing Rick Rude, a member of Paul Jones' army. We'll be right back with the control center. Don't go.
What a fucking prick. Jesus Christ.
I was going to say, do you think that celebrating Turkey Day the Ravishing Way it comes with, includes a turkey baster somehow?
Yeah.
Damn. Dude, he is a asshole.
Okay, so it's funny that you say that, because my note is, what a prick, but in the best way possible. I say that like, I mean, it's literally my note is, what a prick, but in the best way possible.
I ad-libbed right after he finished, but my exact note says, he's an asshole, and it's great. And then I also had a note that said, I remember when you, Doc, said when he came in, you know, maybe they possibly could have thought about bringing him in as a face because they were so light on baby faces. And then you watch something like this, it's like, there's no way. This dude is a prick, a fucking asshole. He's an ass.
Did you see him at the beginning give those fans the side eye?
Yeah.
Oh. Like that was the thing. When he paused, I first thought to myself, oh, is he letting him get to him? But the way he did it, it was like he kind of looked at him like, man, fuck you. And then he would keep going, which was even better. Hubbard, what did you have from this?
I love when he says, we fucking took away your hair. We took away your friends. Never going to take away your old lady's fucking hair.
That's good stuff.
He's a prick, dude. It's so terribly good.
And then we're gonna roll back to the house and party up on Thanksgiving Day, pal.
How many times did he? What'd you say, Harper?
I hope she gets her head shaved.
Well, I don't want to let any spoilers out.
All right.
How many times did he say Squahoo?
I don't know, but he says it so, so insensitively.
Wahoo. And then he really lays it in. Red man.
Called him Red Man and Indian and just all these generic, just derogatory, you're lesser than me terms.
They're going to need a squeegee and a sponge. Jesus Christ. All right. Well, we keep going, and after this, they take us to the Starrcade Control Center. Shivani throws us to a video package of the Midnight Express training for the scaffold match. I'm going to throw it to y'all because I've actually got the timestamp of Corny talking to them while they're training. I didn't know, though, if y'all would want to play it because you really need the visual of it, or if you all just wanted to discuss it. So, Harper, I'll ask you first. Tell me your thoughts, and then we'll go around and see if we do need to play it. But what did you have from this, Harper?
Dude, fuck that, bro. Climbing that shit.
He repeats what he said for the last 3 weeks. Fuck it. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, dude. And I love how when they're scared, they don't want to stand up. And then fucking Bubba just fucking climbs up there and just gets up there and fucking starts walking around.
Like it's nothing.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
God.
Yeah. Doc. Oh, go ahead. Keep going, Harper. Keep going.
Yeah, like for real, fuck that shit, man. Dude, one wrong move. Oh, God.
You're dead.
Yeah, this shit gets real, real quick.
Do you think back then people didn't realize it as much because they weren't woke yet? I'm just throwing out there. This is insane watching this. It's comedy, but at the same time scary. Doc, I'll throw it to you. What did you have for this?
I think you need to play a few minutes of the commentary. You don't have to play the whole thing to get a feel for this. At the beginning, Eaton's like, you can hear Moff Kanter going, I ain't going up there.
Let me play it.
Hold on. And the one that got me, though, I said, did you see Condry lean on that handrail and that little PVC pipe buckled?
Yes.
And motherfuck this whole thing. I don't like heights at all. At all. And I looked at that and I was like, there ain't even a good ladder for him to get up there, man.
No.
Through this.
All right, let me play a little bit of it. Here it is.
Another match on everybody's mind, the Night of the Skywalkers on the scaffold 20 feet above the ring. Jim Cornette and his Midnight Express had a recent workout on the scaffold. Let's take a look at that workout right now.
Now listen, Bobby. Look, quit whining, okay? Just quit whining.
I ain't getting up there.
Mama paid for this scaffold. She paid for this film crew, all these people to be here. Don't make me look like an idiot in front of all these people. And that's the biggest match of all time. We got to be ready. Now you're going to get up there. Just quit whining, okay? Dennis, look out here. Now the camera's over here. Okay, tell me when you're ready. Okay. How do you train for a scaffold match? The Night of the Skywalker, Starrcade 86. Well, if you're a Cornette, you have your mother buy a scaffold, and then you have them set it up, and you have a film crew come down, because I did what every red-blooded American boy would do in faced with tragedy. I called my mother, and she answered the problem right here. And right now, you people are going to see it. Starrcade 86, sure, it looks high, because it is high. It's 25 feet in the air, but that makes no difference, because these men are fearless. Now get up there, and I want you to work out some strategy. Work out some... No, you right now. Right now. Bob, get... Climb. Bobby.
I don't want to go up there,
Bobby. Climb the scaffold. Climb the scaffold. Don't worry about it. Climb the scaffold.
Cornette kissed him.
Now you see that, Bobby, the Midnight Express, the greatest tag team in professional wrestling, climbing the scaffold right now, preparing for Starrcade 86, the Night of the Skywalkers, Road Wars. You may have thought about this match. You may have dreamed it up. You may have tried to hornswoggle us, but in the end, you're going to get hornswoggled. Dennis, on up. Go ahead. Bobby, quit whining. Quit whining. Bob, get up there. I don't care. Get up. No, look. Trust me, have I ever lied to you? Have I ever lied to you? Remember all the things I've done for you, Bob. I've done some things for you I didn't want to do. Now get up there. That's keep going. You're almost there. Come on, guys. I'm telling you, it's going to be the greatest thing in professional wrestling. The Road Wars are going to be finished once and for all, because my Midnight Express are going to have a game plan. They're going to have strategy. They're going to be set and ready. And if, Bobby, get up there now. Don't make me yell at you. Get up there. You're making me look like an idiot in front of all these people. What's the matter with you? Keep going, Dennis. Stand up. For heaven's sake. You're whining like an old woman. Bobby, get up there. Come on. Do you want me to look dumb in front of all these people? It's safe, I promise you. Look here. See? Bobby, stand up, Dennis. Stand up. They're not going to wrestle you on their knees. It's going to be a fight. Don't hold on to the rail. Stand up. Balance yourself. Y'all are the highest flying team in professional wrestling. Act like it. Don't you realize the Road Wars are not going to fight you on their knees. It's going to be a fight. There's going to be pandemonium. Anything's legal. Anything they can tote up on that scaffold, anything we can carry up, you can use it. It don't matter. It's going to be great, but you got to have a game plan. You got to have a strategy. Look here, Bubba's not scared. I'm not scared. Do I look scared to you? All right, now see, what was I telling you all along? I just walk across there a couple times, get the feel of it. Ain't nothing to it at all.
Bro, that shit is moving.
Holy mackerel, you make all this big commotion and everything. See there?
It's
ain't nothing. Bobby, watch it. Wait a minute. My Dennis, call
it. That thing's swaying. And they just went to their stomachs on the
scaffold. I know how far it is, Bobby, but you got to be fighting them. You got to throw them off. You got to knock them down. You got to be fired up. You hold this, Bubba. Come on, Bubba. Oh, please. Go up there and help
them. That big Bubba's ass going to climb that fucking jankety ass thing.
Watch out. It's shaking.
No shit, Corny.
Now, Bubba, go over there in the middle and show them what it's like. Show them what it's like when the Road Wars are up there. Now, guys, You got to have a game plan and a strategy, like I said. Now you go out there and you fool around with that thing for a minute and you figure out how you're going to knock the Road Warriors off. We'll get rid of the Road Warriors once and for all. Yes, I care about you guys. Look, I'm not scared. Now, I care about you guys. I really do. You know how much I love you, Bobby. Bobby, stand up. Wait a minute. I'm looking. Hold on. Let me.
Corny's touching it to see how shaky it is. That's almost the end of it now. All right.
Okay.
I can't tell y'all enough. If you've got access to the network, go watch it. If you don't, I may look for it to see if it's on YouTube, and then I'll post it on Twitter, because this shit is very comical. I mean, it's not like gut-busting laughter, but when you see them, like Harper, this thing's shaking, dude. It's,
yeah, bro. It's fuck that, dude. And then when the Road Warriors get up there, let's be honest, is how much you think the combined weight of the Road Warriors? It's probably about 600 pounds, almost.
Probably anywhere from 550
to 600. Yeah. So you got them, and then Midnight's probably
480.
Somewhere about 480, about 454. That's a lot of weight up there, fucking moving around. Fuck that.
Mike, you don't like heights either, do you?
I mean, I'm not like deadly afraid. I mean, I've jumped off of some shit, bro. So but jumping off of something is completely different than what they're about to do. Like,
so would you climb up there and jump off of that for?
No.
Okay.
But I've come off of like a 12, you know, to 15 foot ladder before, but that's totally different than going up on a scaffold and trying to actually wrestle someone.
Yes.
Like, it's totally different. Because when I go up a ladder to jump off of, I'm just walking up. I'm scaling a ladder to jump down onto somebody. So something's going to break my fall. I'm not standing on some rickety, shaky-ass scaffold trying to balance myself and throw fucking punches and, you know, act like I'm going to work a match. That's a total different environment.
Let me tell you something. Fuck wrestling. I don't know how much money it would take me to just walk across that son of a bitch.
Yeah, well, they got paid to do this. That's the good news. But damn, this is scary.
It's a great angle, because it's like Cornette. You can know Cornette doesn't want to go up there because he's scared of heights. But it's like, dude, Corny's got us into some shit we can't get out of, and this is some bullshit. They don't want to do it, and Corny's trying to get him to do it. And the other thing here is, have a running commentary for 3 or 4 minutes by yourself and be interesting. And Corny's hilarious.
Yeah, they sell it. This segment, they sell everything. They sell the match in this segment, if you think about it. Because we're seeing how scary they are. We're seeing how, like, unstable they are up there. That sells it. And it's what it should be, because they're the heels.
Well, and especially because the last time we saw the Road Warriors, they were chucking pumpkins off that son of a bitch.
Jesus Christ, you're right about that. With Bobby and Dennis's name on it, that's true.
So we got each side of the coin here, and how's this going to work? They can't even stand up on this son of a bitch.
I don't know. This is insane.
So they're supposed to wrestle on the scaffold.
Yeah, it's dog shit.
And it's supposed to win with a pin?
No, it's whoever comes off the scaffold first.
Somebody falls off.
Somebody's got to fall to the ring.
Oh, fuck that. I thought they were just going to go up there, kind of, you know, do some strikes and you know.
No.
God damn. Yeah, fuck you, bro.
First of all, it's dog shit, and it has none of their. It's not their fault. I mean, these guys are all four so good. Why did we need to put them up there? Let's keep them on the ground where they can entertain me. Yes, somebody's gonna come off the cage.
Oh God!
I'm in the scaffold.
I mean, I mean, I've seen it a million times, but
yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, I've seen this one a million times. I know Doc has too, because he used to rent the tape from the video store when he was younger. But
when I was in college, hell yeah, I could get a 6-pack of Natural Light
and watch this shit on a loop,
Starrcade 86, and get it on.
God, we used to do that shit too.
Yeah, but
white people all do the same shit.
I don't think the match is as bad as Doc keeps talking about, but we'll talk about that.
It's garbage because it's a garbage gimmick match.
Okay, we'll talk about it when we get there. We'll talk about the match it is when we get there. Okay, so after all of this happens, we get back to Lucky Charms, Bill Dundee, and he's gonna cut a promo. Let me play that for us. Here it is.
And we're at ringside with superstar Bill Dundee.
Tony Schiavone, do you want to be the first to congratulate me?
What for?
What for? What's happening tomorrow night in St. Louis? The biggest tournament that ever came to that town for the Central States Heavyweight Champion. Everybody's in it. It's an NWA from Dusty Rhodes down to yours truly. And I'm going to win it. You know why? Because I'm the baddest dude alive, Jack. I've told all you rednecks before, I may not be the biggest. I'm certainly the cutest and one of the baddest. And I'm going to be the new champion out there. No, Starrcade Daddy, my main man Gorgeous Jimmy's off in Hollywood. He's getting a new robe made so he can walk down that aisle and look gorgeous as ever, and he's going to beat up on Brad Armstrong, right? And I'm going to beat up on that redneck that they're all yelling at for Sam Houston. I don't like him. I don't like nothing about cowboys. I don't even own a pickup truck. And that's what you are, Houston. You're a long-legged drink of water, drive around in a pickup truck. And all them rednecks over there think you're something. Well, you ain't nothing, Daddy. You ain't nothing to the superstar. Anybody that dips snuff, drives a pickup truck, I don't like. And they're going to them, you know, them bars that they all go in. They got a little low ceilings. And the smoke, you got to duck to get in them. That's the kind of bar that Rhodes hangs out. That's the kind that you hang out, Houston. Well, I don't like you, Jack. I don't like nothing about you. So do you want to shake my hand now, or are you going to wait till tomorrow?
I might as well wait. I don't want to, you know, look presumptuous.
Well, let me tell you something, brother. If you're going to bet, bet on me.
All right, the superstar, Bill Dundee. Let's go back.
So something y'all don't know here. He's talking about the Central States Tournament that happens tomorrow. That actually has mild significance to Starrcade, because the winner actually ends up defending that at Starrcade. So I just wanted to throw that out there. It's an 8-man tournament, I believe. So
Does Bulldog Bob Brown win it?
No, he's not in it. But Arn is in it. Dusty's in it. Sam Houston's in it. Tully's in it. Todd Champion's in it. Sam Houston's in it. Bill Dundee's in it. I'm trying to remember who else. T.J. Khan's in it, and Warlord's in it.
That's more than 8 guys, isn't it?
I don't know. I think that's everybody who's in it. I think it's 8. I don't think it's any more than 8. I think it's 8 guys.
You just said more than 8 dudes, dude.
Well, maybe I'm named, but I know Tully, Arn, Dusty. I know Tully, Arn, and Dusty are in it, and Sam is in it, because Sam wins it. I mean, I'll give that away. We'll find out.
Well, what the
fuck?
Why? Well, they never show it on TV.
I could go get that. I could get Tim Moretti to send me that.
Okay. Well, Sam wins it, so just put that out there.
God.
He becomes a central.
I was gonna go out. After we recorded,
no, you weren't.
Talk to Mrs. Doc and say, hey, do you want to watch the Central States Heavyweight title tournament? I guess go out there and say, do you want to watch the greatest thing that ever happened in professional wrestling? And she'd go, no.
Bruh, let me tell you, I'll tell people this real quick before I get there, y'all thoughts on Bill Dundee here. My wife and I actually recorded something for the patrons on Saturday night when I made her watch the Women's Rumble, and I made her give commentary during it. It is an hour worth of the worst fucking audio on the planet, and I haven't released it yet. I want to hear if the patrons want to hear it, just for the simple fact that it's very terrible. So if you want me to release it, let me know, and I'll put it out there. But, yes.
Did she freeze up when the light came on?
No, she's just fucking lame, dude. I'm like, and I'm trying to, and, like, Doc, here's the thing. She wouldn't take the bait. Like, I kept trying to say shit to, like, you know, like, work her up and to, you know, lather her up and to piss her off. Like, Sasha came out, I go, God, look at that ass. And she wouldn't take the bait, dude. She just was like,
Yeah, uh-huh. Looking at it, huh? I was like, man, oh, God, that ass is perfect. And she just would, she would not take the bait. It's like she knew I was trying to fucking just mess with her.
Maybe you should have gotten, turned up the heat. You know what I mean? No. Like, I'd eat a mile of her shit just to smell it.
Whoa.
Whoa.
I like to, I'll eat the corn out of her shit.
Okay. Yeah. Harper, thoughts on Bill Dundee right here?
I like that when he calls Sam the long-legged drink of water or something like that.
Yeah, that's an old one.
Yeah, because he's got some long fucking legs.
That's a tall bastard. You don't realize it until you stand next to him.
But, yeah, he's... bro, I'm missing Buddy Lindell, man.
I know.
When I see him, I get pissed because I'm like, where the fuck's Buddy at, bro?
Yeah, right. I don't know what to tell you, bro, about Buddy. I'm just going to say that.
God damn.
Doc, what about you? Anything else here?
Well, I'll spoiler alert. We're going to get Buddy back in 1995 Smoky Mountain, so there is that. Yeah. I just don't think it's a good look for Dundee to be out there telling you everything he's going to do. And then Shivani's standing there looking down on him.
That didn't bother me. Everybody knew he was short.
Well, you're short, so you
I'm not that short.
I don't know, pal.
Dundee is short, dude. He's like freaking short. Damn near midget type short. Little person, whatever it's called now. Okay, well, we'll keep going.
I believe they prefer the term midget.
Okay.
Any midget worth its little weight likes to be called a midget. I mean, if I was a midget, I'd want to be a midget.
Okay. Well, we'll keep going. We got the Malky brothers versus Tim Horner and Ricky Lee Jones here. Malky Mania is actually mentioned at the start of the match. And then I noticed Horner had a nice little lightning bolt on his boots. Horner and Jones get the win when Jones puts on what I think was the fuller leg lock that we saw the last few months in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. But I'll throw it to Doc first and get his thoughts on this match.
Well, do you know who Ricky Lee Jones is?
No.
I'm going to play dumb so you can tell the people.
Well, that's Robert Gibson's older brother, Rick Gibson.
Okay, are you going to keep going or?
I just told you who he was.
Okay. I mean, are you trying to smarten me up or what's the angle here?
There is no angle. That's Robert Gibson's older brother.
Okay, your thoughts on the fuller leg lock.
Well, it's a devastating move, pal. That shit would cripple a man.
Yeah, it sure the fuck would.
Older Gibson was in a car wreck several years back, and it really kind of ended his career other than some sporadic appearances such as this, and he never really got any momentum. I guess they were calling him Ricky Lee Jones because they wanted to see if he could go. Before they started calling him a Gibson. I don't know.
Probably so. Probably
I did
so.
My research. I'm tired of this harassment.
Okay.
I Googled it and some like singer popped up.
That's the blues singer from the 70s. She sang Chuck E's in Love.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're going to talk about music. And
I can talk about wrestling. I can talk about music. I can talk about it all, pal.
Well, I'll tell you what I want to talk about. Harper, do you have any thoughts on this match before I go to Ric Flair's promo?
Does he go anywhere from after this? No, huh? Ricky Lee Jones?
No.
No.
Not of like national note.
Yeah. That sucks.
Well, up next, Ric Flair is out here. Let's listen to what Rick's got to say.
We are with the heavyweight champion of the world, Nature Boy Ric Flair. Starrcade approaches. The match against Nikita Koloff does also. And here's a look at the champion.
Tony Schiavone, the bottom line is, and I'm no real big patriot by any means, but I like to show the folks what the good old American dollar can do for you. You start right here at about $35,000. You roll over here to about $15,000. Then you give them the whole shot right around $2,200. In other words, when you look at Ric Flair, this is not the only goal that the man possesses. You gotta be rich. You gotta be like Ric Flair and Jimmy Crockett. You gotta know how to style, woo, and profile. what I'm building up to, Tony Schiavone, is this. Right now, there's a 275-pound Russian who has attracted the fancy of the American public because they think that he's a big, bad man and he can shut this up. Ha! Not a chance. You see, Nikita, what you are right now is a guy who's driving around in a brand new $40,000 car. And you got some new clothes. You got all the big things in life. But you know what else you got? You're going soft. That's right. You're going soft. You have become Dusty Rhodes' stooge. That's what you are, Nikita. And you got to walk that aisle. And with all those big muscles, you remind me of a lot of women I know around this world with full sweaters and nothing up here. You understand what I'm telling you? And I'm going to handle you in the same light. Big boy, you got to beat this. Woo! And it cannot be done. Right, girls? Here's the Slick Rick, the American way of getting things done. Woo!
Let's go back to the ring.
I know Schiavone just wants to laugh every single time, but he really can't. But Harper, what did you have from this?
I like that, man. He fucking ripped him down.
Did he?
Why would he laugh? He didn't say anything fucking funny.
Yeah.
Because he's so good, it's like, damn, that was great. Like, that type of laugh.
He's fucking Dusty Stooge.
He ripped Nikita a new asshole.
Yeah.
And what's Nikita going to come out and do?
I'm going to give Nikita credit on one thing that we're going to hear in a minute. Rick said something about Nikita getting soft because he's running with Dusty. And I don't know. I guess Nikita was in the back listening to that. So I'm going to give Nikita some props shortly just based on that. But other than that, Rick told Nikita, you ain't shit, dude. I'm going to whoop your ass. But that was my take on it. Doc, what did you have?
I just want to know which hotel bar we're hanging out so we can go hang out with the full sweaters and empty heads, dude. That sounds like a Valentine's Day dream. we're going to go do our post-game show at the Marriott Lounge out by the airport where we can talk to some Barbaras and Lisas.
And Tamaras and Wandas, right?
All of them.
All of them. Bring them all.
But yeah, it's funny because he's talking huge game. And then when we get to Starrcade, and I ain't trying to throw nothing, I'm not going to, you know, give anything away, but at the beginning of the match, Rick looks tiny compared to Nikita, and he can't get any offense in at first. And it's going to be great to think about all this just supreme confidence he had at the beginning and how he's going to have to work through the match.
I tell you what, I'm not speaking of after Starrcade, like, you know, what happens between Nikita and Rick or speculating on Nikita after all of this, like how it all plays out. Because I hear people go, well, they didn't like, you know, once Nikita was a face, after the aftermath of everything, once we get past Starrcade and all. But right now, it's a fresh matchup, which, like, that's half of it. The fact that you would have never thought you'd see these two go at it. I mean, they were both heels is my point. So that, like that, to me, that's a big positive going into Starrcade. But you're right. We'll see how it plays out.
Does Ivan come back?
Ivan's there.
No, like, does he feud with him?
I don't want to give any spoil. Doctor, man, they get kayfabe. No, but Jesus Christ, Doc. No, but I remember right now, Ivan and Crusher are tags or the U.S. tag champs. They haven't talked about it much, but just remember that.
Okay.
Yeah, and here's the thing: how far down on the card at Starrcade is that with Dutch and Jaggers? And I want to see that match.
That's a good match, actually, for me. I remember that match. That was a good match.
Let's just stay in here and watch and do live recordings of all the way through Starrcade. On Valentine's night.
Boy, can you imagine? You want to talk about how to write the book on getting nuclear heat? That would do it. So I can see me peeking out the door. Hey, baby, why don't you go to bed? Me, Doc, and Harper are about to hit the play button on Starcade, and we're about to do 4 hours of audio on it.
Oh, and by the way, by the way, Oh, by the way, we're going to start a weekly review show of the AWA.
Yeah. Can you imagine the look? It'd be like, yeah, okay. All right, we'll keep going here. So Tully Blanchard versus Keith Patterson is up next. Tully gets the quick win with the slingshot suplex. Any notes from that, Harper?
No, none.
Me either. It was real quick. Doc, you?
Uh-huh.
They're just heating Tully up for the show.
Yep.
Yeah.
So let's hear from Tully and JJ right here after his match.
There's a possibility Thanksgiving night, we've talked about it before, that the Four Horsemen could bring in all the gold after Starrcade is over.
It's a little bit more than a strong possibility. It's pretty well assured as far as I'm concerned. Yet it does take a little bit of changing of tactics, if you would. For the last couple of weeks in all the matches, we've been going after that leg, we'll admit it. And that hand is vulnerable too. We've been going after it. He's got that big mitt over his hand. It still packs a pretty good wallop. But underneath it, if you can hit it and stop it long enough, it's going to hurt again. But you see, once you get the first blood at Starrcade on Thanksgiving, the knee, the hand are really insignificant. Because in order to win the match, in order to leave the ring, and the new world television champion, we've got to go that extra measure, and we've got to bust somebody open.
You know, JJ, Tony Schiavone, you hit it just right. Starrcade 86 Thanksgiving night. The night the Horsemen reign, Ric Flair is going to take Nikita Koloff with some false inspiration and some fan cheers. He doesn't know what he's walking down the aisle for. And Flair's going to walk out with the gold. Dusty Rhodes screaming, hollering, getting in the ring because Jim Crockett forced him to sign a contract that he didn't want to. But Dusty Rhodes, you're walking that aisle with me, the man that has beat you more times than any limit you ever did. Pins your shoulders down. And then you got the Rock and Roll Express inside that cage against Ole and Arn. The Four Horsemen are going to walk out with all the championships. And everybody else, tears running down their face, hands hung low, going to walk off in defeat. And that's just what it's going to be. Because, you know, just like Vince Lombardi said, fatigue makes cowards of us all. And, you know, the Horsemen are training triply hard, four times harder than all the rest. So Dusty Rhodes, Nikita Koloff, Rock and Roll Express, all the rest. Starrcade night, your time is coming and coming real close because you look at those belts, you get all the pictures you can take with them because I tell you what, it's going to be history after the 27th, Starrcade 86, the night the Horsemen reign.
Man, let's go back to the ring.
Okay, Doc, I'll throw it to you first this time.
I tend to believe him. I tend to want to believe that what he's saying is getting ready to happen. I think they're going to win all the gold and tears for everyone else. And basically, he came out and laid it out. What I really liked out of all of it, the line, and Tully was great. Don't get me wrong. Tully was great. But the line that got me at the beginning was when JJ admitted that they've been going after Dusty's leg. And didn't they break his wrist like a few weeks ago? Have we forgotten about that?
I don't know if they ever really said they broke it, but he did have a cast on.
Yeah, they haven't even talked about that.
You know what else?
You're right, Harper. They haven't said much about it. Not on Saturday night, at least. But, I mean, he's had a cast on at times.
Well, you know what else they don't talk about? When's the last time you heard Magnum TA's name get mentioned?
Did they mention something last week about?
No.
No.
On Saturday night?
It's like he disappeared.
It sure is.
And here's the thing, I haven't watched the World Watch from November 7th and 15th to know how much they talk about it there, but I couldn't remember if they mentioned it last week. Yeah, I mean, well, the sad reality is you got your biggest card of the year. You got your Super Bowl. I hate to say it, but you got to actually, from mentioning it, you've got to get to the point where you're not really mentioning it as much because you want the fans to worry about what's happening versus what's not happening because of his injury.
Well, and that makes a good point, actually, because as a guy who went through round and round and round of tragedy here in Dallas, every time you pull the thoughts away from the ring into this stuff that's real life, it gets to be a downer, dude. This is supposed to be escapism, and now you're telling me about how Magnum is a normal schlep like the rest of us now, except he's worse off than I am because he's crippled. I want to hear all that. I want to see some goose stepping and hillbilly womping and squahoo and all kinds of other fun stuff.
Just wait. You're going to see some goose stepping. It's I can't wait till we talk about that at Starrcade. Did you go watch it? Did you watch what I told you to watch?
No.
Did you do it yet? Dude. Harper, you're going to see it. Baron and, right. and Hector. You're gonna Baron and Hector at Starrcade. And I don't want to tell you what happens, but I'll just tell you
he
part of
marching
it.
Marching out like a Nazi.
Baron does some goose stepping in the match after the hot tag, but it's what happens before that, that and the reaction of the crowd for, to that and the hot tag that I just didn't remember seeing it, and I'm watching it now, and I'm just like, I can't fucking believe what I'm doing. And everybody's losing their fucking mind, and that made Southern Wrestling so great.
What happens?
It's so great when you see it. It's so great. I say it. I'm not insulting it. I'm saying it in a complimentary way. It's what made Southern Wrestling just so fucking phenomenal. Oh boy. So Harper, what did you have from Tully here, man?
I liked what fucking JJ said. Yeah, we're fucking working on his leg. Fuck you.
Yep.
Oh, they that's don't. Yeah, they don't hide the fact that they're criminals, and that's the funny part. They'll tell you how they want to sue Bob Geigel in the NWA, but at the same time, they're the ones breaking all the laws.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I didn't see anything.
That was old shit.
Why you got to bring up old shit?
Yeah.
All right, Harper. Anything else?
Nah, we can move on.
Brad Armstrong versus Tony Zane is next. Brad gets the victory on Zane. Just a note, Brad will face Jimmy Garvin at Starrcade. It's a good match. It's a solid match when we get there. We'll talk about it. Anything from that match, Harper?
No.
Doc, you?
I have something that I noticed this week. And I think you guys are going to think I'm insane.
What?
But that's okay. Not on the same level of charisma. But for some reason, Brad Armstrong kind of reminds me of Kerry Von Erich in the ring.
Mr. Hair.
Could be.
Yeah, he's got the young, he's a young guy with a, you know, with a good body.
It might be the hair, and he kind of moves like him. And right here, he's not jacked Kerry.
He's not jacked, he's but he's bigger than, built.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's bigger
he's
here
been,
than
you know what he's been doing. Him. He's been training with Armstrong's army is what he's been doing.
Well, I think, too, like, people remember Brad a lot from the Monday Night Wars time. And Brad is he is much smaller in the mid-90s because, obviously, the ratings that Nitro did during that time were just ridiculous. So a lot of people remember Brad from that. They don't remember Brad during this time period when he really was much bigger. I mean, not cut, but he was thick.
Yeah, and so he's much bigger. He's much bigger than I remember. He has that hair that kind of looks like Kerry. I mean, Kerry was pretty charismatic in the ring, though. I mean, that's where the comparison I think starts to fall apart a little bit. But just in a passing mention, he kind of reminded me of Kerry this week, and I thought I'd shoot that out for the people.
Well, we'll keep going now, and this is the promo I was talking about where Nikita responds to Rick, and I'm going to play it. Now, I want you to remember what Rick said about being soft. Here it is.
Stars with the Four Horsemen will tell you the superpowers are ready for Starrcade.
You know what I like about it, Flair? He tell the people the truth. He say, I got a big mouth. You right, Flair. You got a big mouth. You say Nikita's soft, huh? Let me show you what soft look like, Flair. I'm going to show you right now. Take a good look, Flair! Take a good look! That looks like soft, huh? You know, I figured out how come you wear these sunglasses on your face. You hiding the fear in your eyes from all these people. Fear that you know in the back of your mind, Nikita can defeat you. And I'm going to put the Russian signal on you, and I'm going to look down, and I'm going to say, Flair, how that soft feel. Flair, you're a great champion. And in Starrcade, If I can defeat you, that's going to make Nikita a great champion.
Ric Flair, I believe that you just got a lesson in how an athlete is supposed to look, you understand? Nikita Koloff, Dusty Rhodes, the superpowers united in this country now. Tyler Blanchard, First Blood, Starrcade 86, the hottest night in the hottest two towns and the hottest time. The superpowers take it all. First Blood, world title, Tyler Blanchard. Just like Ricky Monroe said, if I tell you the roof is going to fall, you better believe it. And if I say I'm going to turn you into a pumpkin, you better believe that too. It's going to be a hot night. I want you dressed and ready to go, Jack.
Okay. The superpowers, Dusty Rhodes, Nikita Koloff, back right after this timeout.
So, hold on. So what ahead. If Shivani was like, man, fuck you, Dusty. I'll wear what I want to wear. So, did Dusty just stand there and say that's what an athlete's supposed to look like?
I was thinking the same thing.
I had the same note.
I was so confused.
I had the same note. I was like, damn, Dusty, you got some nerve telling Rick that's what an athlete's supposed to look like.
And the thing that got me in this one was all of Nikita's faces while Dusty was talking. Go back and watch that sometime.
You ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till next week when Nikita's talking about eating pussy in his promo.
What?
I can't even... Just wait. Go watch it, Hopper, after we fucking finish. It's only 33 minutes, dude. Trust me on this.
We're trying to watch wrestling. What are you talking about, dude?
Nikita starts talking about the ladies liking his tongue, and he's going...
He's going to show him...
So
he's gonna show him out. He's gonna show Rick how soft it feels. I was like, dude.
Yeah, bro. The sexual connotations in this promo were off the chart.
What
the hell is going on with Harper's phone?
Bro, didn't it feel weird not hearing him say Magnum TA?
Yes, because that was
time.
A staple of it.
Yeah,
Magnum TA. Yeah, you said it. God, he said that shit for 6 months straight. Think about it.
I think this was his best promo.
This was a hell of a promo from Nikita.
I couldn't tell. It all
ignore,
sounded the same.
Ignore the sexual innuendos. Yeah. Or maybe not ignore them. Maybe accept them for what they are.
Yeah.
This was a hell of a response from Nikita to Rick from what Rick did earlier. Nikita represented himself well right here.
I don't like babyface Nikita.
Yeah, okay. Me either.
Well, I mean, I didn't say I liked it either, but we're here, we're where we're at now, and we can't go back in time.
What,
after
Harper, and I can't get in our wrestling time machine.
Let's get that fucking
quite.
DeLorean and
it's
go back
happen,
in time.
Not gonna happen. I want to remind everybody, if you're listening to the show on YouTube, this is just one portion of the show. To listen to the show in its entirety, I should say, you can find us anywhere you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, TuneIn Radio. Just search Book in the Territory. Subscribe however you get your podcasts and never miss a show. Remember, this is just the NWA portion. There's an open and a close of this show and potentially an interview that you're missing when you don't download the full show. So there's that. I wanted to point that out. And while we're talking about Apple Podcast, throw us a 5-star review. We are at 162 total reviews. I think 159 5-stars right now. Remember, when we get to 200 5-star reviews, the ladies of BTT will be cutting some audio with Doc and I. So,
well, you just told everybody that your wife sucks at this, so why would they do it now?
Well,
there
I figure if your wife is involved and the two broads can bounce stuff off of each other, they could, because, you know, they can turn it into a session where they think they're putting the boots to us, but we're really working them, and we cut some audio on them. So there you have it. But give us a 5-star review. We'd appreciate it. Way to sell it, Doc. Like, you know, it's not going to be a spectacular thing. God,
you're the
no
one
wonder
that
you
sold
suck.
It that way. Here's what I... Okay, so here's... Let me help out. Jesus Christ. This is why I'm mad all the time. Is that I'm going to pull back the curtain so that you people can hear what I do to make this thing successful. If you sign up to be a patron, we're going to solicit questions from the patrons that you'd like us to ask our broads. So if you're a patron and you want to get a question in on the air to one of our broads, become a patron and you can do so.
God.
And then there's your incentive to become a patron and leave a 5-star review.
Can you imagine some of the questions?
That's business 101, pal. You're welcome.
Disclaimer, we have to approve the question before we ask. Can you imagine some of the shit that'll come?
I said you get to submit them. I didn't say we'd read them. Second of all.
Oh, so this is like the Rock and Roll Express gimmick. Where
right, I'm going to see. I'm going to watch the video. Yes.
Okay.
Second of all, something else, little buddies. I've been on this idea for a long time, and Mike thinks it's stupid. So let's just put it out there and see what the patrons and potential patrons think. I've been saying for a long time, people love the top fives, but we kind of ran out of content. But people love Harper and Dot. So maybe we should do top fives on other things like top five hottest broads in the world, or the top five movies of all time, or the top five rap groups of all time. Or the top five this or this or this. And we could have that for content for the patrons. And I said, man, nobody want to hear that shit.
That's not what I said. I said, I actually said I have the text. I said, that's a good idea. You never got back to me when you wanted to record the first one.
Well, I'm busy, dude.
See? Telling you on this top five thing that we're going to do for patrons.
I hold a men's fellowship prayer group in my home.
No, you don't.
I do some missionary work.
You lying motherfucker.
I coach youth sports.
That you're not lying about, but the other stuff you are.
And I'm toying with the idea of pursuing a second PhD.
Oh, yeah, okay. Okay, well, there you
double,
go. Doc.
Double doc.
Did you get all your shit in?
I was just trying to help you sell some patronages and get some 5-star reviews in this motherfucker.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much for all your assistance.
Well, you're very welcome.
We'll keep going on the show. We're actually almost at the end. We got Jim Cornette coming up, and this is after Nikita and Dusty. And Jim is now out here once again, second time. Well, third if you count the scaffold training session. This is his third time out in this episode. Here's Jim.
Hey, now after seeing what we have seen on the Starrcade Control Center, a little bit of fear in your eyes.
Oh, no, let me tell you exactly what happened. I'm going to give you the straight story on that. I was upset with that thing. My mother spent a lot of time and a lot of money, and it was edited all wrong. You cut out all the intricate wrestling moves, all the great maneuvers, all the great strategy my Midnight Express had worked up on the scaffold. Well, I got that footage, and we're going to see it next week. Believe me that. I'm going to get it on the air. That stuff, it was a little shaky at first, but we got everything worked out, and we're ready for the Road Wars. And I'll tell you who else we're ready for. Ronnie Garvin.
All right, it actually froze up on me, but that's fine, because what they do is from here, they throw it to Garvin. Well, they throw it to the Midnight jumping Ronnie Garvin from NWA Pro on November 15th of 86. And then Bubba splashes Garvin twice, and it's impressive. Damn. In 1986, coming from a man his size. So, Harper, I'll throw it to you first. Thoughts on what Cornette said and then what they show in the recap there?
What do you have against Garvin? I forgot.
I think... to me, I just think that was just something for like the live shows and like the worldwide episodes.
Oh, okay.
Garvin was like, I want a big payday. I need to get on this card. So Dusty was off with Tully, and Bubba needed a dance partner. So, hey, you come over here.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I think they, yeah. So, they needed to build up something with that. I mean, because. I mean, we didn't really talk about this, but I still believe they mentioned it kind of that it was going to be Dusty or Garvin that would face Flair before Magnum got hurt. I think it was going to be Garvin. I think Garvin was going to end up getting a shot. Garvin kind of got really messed up. I mean, besides Magnum, obviously injuring himself. But Garvin, I think Garvin would have ended up going into Starrcade as in that slot against Flair. That's just my personal belief. And I'd have been fine with that because, I mean, we've seen those two – really beat the piss out of each other on a Saturday night. Can you imagine them in a Starrcade environment beating the piss out of each other? Fuck.
Well, was he champion yet?
Garvin?
He was, huh? Yeah.
No, he hadn't won it.
That's 87, pal.
It's 87.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He didn't win it until 87. He wins it next year. But I mean, think about the times when we've seen those two chop each other till their chests are bleeding.
Yeah, man. That match is fucking awesome.
I agree.
Oh, God.
So,
well, here's the thing. Garvin, bell to bell, is certainly a contender and possibly a champion. But who's he going to talk into the building?
Yeah,
that's the Ron, man. And he remember that match against Tully for the TV title? That shit was great. I mean, him and Tully went out there and put on a hell of a show. Like, he could do it all when it came to in the ring. I mean, he beat the piss out of you. The fans loved him. It was just the promos. That was the main thing during this time period. But, you know, on the promo, though, thoughts on Cornette, Harper? What did you have from Cornette basically telling a lie as usual, claiming that the camera crew edited out the great parts of the training? I thought that was
funny.
Yeah.
And, man, he's just trying to get people to fucking – he's just trying to sell this shit.
Yeah, he's doing his
job. He's trying to get this shit over,
Doc,
hour is a Cornette fucking hour. Half an hour.
Well, the last 5 minutes especially. What about you, Doc? What did you have?
Oh, yeah, it's great. He's like, you missed the part where we got brave, you know.
Yo, they edited it out. Yeah, okay, Courtney.
Y'all are trying to make us look bad, you know.
Yeah, perfect heel stuff there.
And I wonder right now, as they're playing in this match, how much Corny is protesting behind the scenes, his ass having to get up there.
We should ask him that.
Bullshit. We shouldn't ask him anything. We should get one of these docaholics out here to fire up their email account and send Brian Last a question so that, hey, I was listening to the Book in the Territory podcast, and we just want to know how much were you protesting behind the scenes to not have to get up on that scaffold. I just wrote the email for you. Now somebody's got to do it. You want the spotlight next week? Make it happen.
Get it on the drive-through. Just make sure you put, I was listening to Booking the Territory with Mike Mills, Doc Turner, and Hardbody Harper, and they were talking about the scaffold match and how much you may have been politicking behind the scenes to get out of it. And then ask Corny if he was politicking, or to what extent he may have been politicking behind the scenes if he was. So thank you, Doc. That
or
was
how much? Eloquent. How much, if he didn't, he wishes he would have now in hindsight.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it, too, because even if you didn't, now that we know what happened when you fell off the scaffold, do you wish you would have? That's a good point. All right, so we go from Corny to Rick Rude versus Paul Garner. Rick Rude wins. No surprise there. Doc, anything from that?
I wonder, Rick Rude has cut an impressive swath through this Fed. I mean, he's hit and impressed the shit out of me. And, I mean, I had beat him in world class, too. So, okay. Early on, before WWE. Dude, he's just jacked and a prick. And it's awesome.
Rick is an impressive asshole.
Yeah, he is. And then He becomes a bigger asshole later on.
Yes.
He gets on the gas up north and
gets
even bigger. And when he pulled off his pants and had Jake's wife on his side.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, what are you going to do if another man takes off one set of pants to reveal your girl's picture on his dick?
Jesus. God damn. Speaking of Jake, I gotta mention this. Speaking of Jake Roberts,
bottles of piss.
If you haven't listened to the 605 Super Podcast that dropped, I guess about 5 or 6 days ago now, maybe a week ago, I can't quite remember. But it's the one called "Rat Poison" is the title.
Yeah,
Gary Gray tells some phenomenal fucking Jake Roberts stories on that episode, and I 100% believe every bit of what Jerry says, just because it's wrestling. There's people that can validate it happening, but Jesus Christ, I don't want to ruin it for you. So, but you really should go listen to it. While I'm mentioning that, I will get your thoughts in a second. Jerry Gray is battling stage 4 cancer, and I just wanted to mention this on the show. Go to tinyurl.com/GoFundGoldenBoy if you can donate to his cancer relief. He's basically gone through all of his funds trying to fight cancer, and he's in stage 4 cancer right now. It's spread, but he's hanging in there. And again, it's tinyurl.com/GoFundGoldenBoy. I just thought I'd mention that this week. I know he was co-hosting on a 605, and he talked about his cancer battle. It's pretty rough. I mean, he's exhausted all his savings. He didn't blow it on bullshit. He's just exhausted it on medical expenses. So I wanted to mention that, Jerry Gray, and support him if you can.
That sucks.
Yeah, it does, man. I got a heart for that because I saw that happen to my dad, man. He exhausted every bit dime that he had and died completely broke. Unable to even have a proper burial for the most part because of trying to battle cancer. So just throwing it out there. Again, tinyurl.com/GoFundGoldenBoy. Doc, you were about to say something, though?
Well, I was just going to say, if we had socialized medicine instead of a border wall, we might be able to help out people like that.
Jesus Christ.
Man, and all I'm going to say is after that 605 episode, man, I felt like I needed a shower, first of all.
And it was awesome.
And second of all, you old school wrestlers were some scumbag people. I love it, man. The business would be better if we had more dirtbags in the business. Shit. I mean, Harper's the only one I can think of.
I'm sorry.
Never mind. I can't even. I don't want to get comprehend her.
How about the fact that they tell the story, and it's also in last week's drive-thru from Corny about Johnny Valentine wanting to unscrew screws in the hotel room, put shit in there, and then screw them back in.
Yeah, just deposit shit everywhere.
What kind of antisocial nonsense is that? And they couldn't figure out where the shit, where the smell was coming from.
Because there was 8 piles of shit in 8 different places in the hotel room.
Just, you know, unscrew a little screw, stuff some shit in there, and then screw it back in.
Yeah, that's what I heard. If you want to really piss off somebody, what do you call it? God damn it.
Upper decker?
No, a fucking, you're a landlord. You fucking unscrew those, and you put like a little funnel in it, and you just pour a bag of sugar in every one of those fucking deals, and you just screw it back, and then within about a couple of weeks, there's going to be a major roach problem. And they have no idea why there's so many fucking roaches. And the thing is that they don't know there's a bag of sugar behind the fucking wall. And then they call the exterminator, they kill all the roaches. A week later, boom, they're back.
That's nice, Hopper.
God.
Jesus Christ. All right, so don't do that. Don't do that to your landlord. That's brutal. Okay, pouring sugar in the walls. That's nice, Hopper. That's real classy, dude.
Jesus.
Let's finish off the episode. We got Cornette coming out next. He's gonna close things out. Here it is.
Machine Rick Rude, the winner, and now Jim Cornette and Big Bubba join us out here.
I'm back here again. You know, you people haven't seen enough of me today, Tony Schiavone. And if this guy over here, Bubba, if this guy orders Pumpkinhead one more time, I want you to go over there and I want you to show him the true reasons, the true meaning behind life, if you know what I'm saying. Now, let me say something about Starrcade 80s. Oh, the Pumpkinhead! I can't even concentrate with these people screaming Pumpkinhead. You realize it's been like that all over the country? The Road Wars are responsible for it. All these people around here perpetuating it. Let me tell you something, Road Wars and Paul Ellering. Everybody's now seen just exactly what that scaffold's going to look like. It's going to look the same way going up on the floor of that Omni as it did in that tape. And believe me, brother, when you get up there, when you get your 2 stupid pukes up there, you're going to look down and you're going to realize what could possibly occur in a match like that. And then you're going to look at the other end of that scaffold, and there's going to be the Midnight Express. And I don't know whether they're going to have a load of bricks on their back, whether they're going to have big clubs. I don't know what they're going to have, but they're going to have something. They're going to be ready for those Road Wars, because if you think for 1 second that I would let my men, my most prized possession, my cherished friends, the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life, if you think that I'd let them go into a situation like this with the Road Wars unprepared, then you people are crazy. Road Wars, I promise you this. They say the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Well, in a match like this, one wrong move, one bad step, and brother, it's not only the end of career, it's the end of everything. It's the end of life. So you remember what I'm saying, the Midnight Express are going to be prepared, and I don't care what we have to do. It's not going to be the Midnight Express that comes off that thing. It's going to be the Road Warriors. And when they fall, they're going to make a dent in that cement big enough to bury an elephant in, because that's exactly what they are. Two big, fat, stupid, swolled up, lumped up elephants, and they're going to get what's coming to them for trying to get my men involved in something like this. And Ronnie Garvin, you belong to Big Bubba Rogers, Starrcade Night. It's going to all going to happen, and my men are going to be the greatest thing that anybody's ever seen.
Okay, Jim Cornette.
All right, well, Corny goes off hot, if you ask me, and it's amazing. I just think he talked a lot of shit, and I liked it at the end. Doc, what did you have from that?
And he's working so much overtime right here that he's actually almost wanting to convince me that this matching going to be dog shit.
Yeah, no, huh? That's how I feel.
Yeah. It's great. I mean, it's funny, you know. You hear Cornette talking about something bad is gonna happen when you fall from that thing, and knowing what happens actually is something bad does actually happen when someone falls from that thing. It's weird just to hear him say that, you know, 2 weeks before, almost 2 weeks before. But yeah, Corny's out there and he's talking him into the building. He's doing what he's supposed to do. He's doing exactly what needs to be done right here. What else did you have, Doc?
Nah, he's starting to make me a believer, man.
Hell yeah.
Fuck, it's almost like, well, maybe they're wrong. Maybe this didn't suck.
Right. It sucked.
I need to go watch it.
Okay. I don't think it sucked, but that's my opinion on it.
I'm telling you, I've said this before. It didn't suck for any of the – anybody involved in the match overcame a lot, and it's not their fault. It sucked.
All right. Well, let's do some Rolexes. Doc, you go first. Who's getting your Rolex today?
Dude, if you're about to convince me that a scaffold match is worth watching, I'm going to give my Rolex to Corny.
Harper, who you giving yours to?
It's got to be Corny. Fuck.
I mean, I don't know what else to say.
He fucking earned 10 up tonight.
Well, he's talking you into the building to convince you a scaffold match is going to be worth watching. And I agree, it's Corny. I don't think it's as bad as what you are leading on, Doc, but I Corny gets it easily. So Corny's got a whole armful at this point, maybe close to two. What are you gonna rate it, Doc?
What is this, 33 minutes?
Yeah, you've said that about 8 weeks straight now, so
well that helps. You know, I did consider Rick Rude for the Rolex, because that was just premium heelishness.
That was premium douchebag.
But he's in there. Rick cut a good promo, and you know, Tully cut a good promo. Man, that vignette was awesome.
Yeah, I gave it an A too. Everybody cut a good promo. I think even Dundee was fine, even though, you know, he's not my favorite. Everybody cut good promos here. Even Ivan cut a good one. Shit.
Mm-hmm.
Ivan.
I mean,
Nikita, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gave it an A. What did you give it, Harper?
I'll give it an A, bro. I mean, fuck, it's short and sweet, and it's full of packed fucking a good fucking promos, and that vignette was fucking funny.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. Remember, you're 2 weeks from Starrcade right now, so the beauty of it is they're really doing a good job with all of those promos of trying to get people into the building. Every one of those promos, the purpose was come and see what's about to happen at Starrcade.
Yes.
So, I mean, just from that point of view, I'm like, it was great.
I mean, and the thing of it is, it's hard to remember this time. You didn't see these guys lock up on free TV.
Nope.
You had to pay for the privilege.
You might have seen some boots getting put to folks here and there on like a Worldwide or Pro, but you didn't see them have matches for the most part. So, yep, I agree. While we're talking about this, I want to remind everyone, go to tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. It is a great way to support the show without spending anything extra. If you're already purchasing things on Amazon, Just use our link, again, tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. Load up your shopping cart, give it to the wives, give it to your girlfriends, and have them purchase things. We get a little bit of kickback in return. Amazon supports us, so please use that link. It greatly helps the show. Again, tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. All right, y'all. One more thing before we get out of here. Doc, did you play that Dusty promo that I sent you last night?
I did.
Okay. Harper played it too because he texted me right away. So I'm going to play it for the people. And please react like you did last night when I first sent this to you and you first looked at it. So this promo of the week is very short. It's brought to you by our Pro Wrestling Tees store. You like what I did there? Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Go to facebook.com/bookingtheterritory, like the page, and then click the shop now button and buy some t-shirts. Buy some of our t-shirts. Again, it's our Pro Wrestling Tees store, and we'd appreciate it. Now, let me hit play on this. Here it is. It's Dusty Rhodes. It's a blooper, actually. It's not an actual promo that aired from what I know. Here we go.
Well, my gorilla's a little bit more than just a ordinary gorilla. He's a bad gorilla. And there's something inside him that might be a little bit human. So it's going to be a big surprise in the Omni. The Koloff, Nikita Koloff world titles against Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, and a full-blooded, blooded American gorilla, brother. And there will be gorilla shit all over the Omni. I got that so fucked up.
It helps to point out that they showed the gorilla before he cut the promo.
Right. When you hear the music, there's a gorilla with a basketball. Oh.
Why?
Hopper. Go ahead. What'd you think when you opened this last night?
I have a fucking ape with a goddamn basketball. I mean, what the fuck?
South?
I guess. South. Fuck. I mean, Christ.
God.
Yeah.
He said the gorilla's gonna. There's gonna be so much gorilla shit. I gotta mention this. I got this from actually Mike Crockett from the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing. So go listen to them. They actually used this on their show this week too. And I was like, I gotta use this. This is so fucking good. Doc, any other thoughts from you about the gorilla shit on the Omni floor?
No, I have a thought about something else, though.
Okay, go ahead, because we're getting ready to wrap things up. So, what you got?
Right, we're heading into Harbor here, but you know, one of our great early moments in BTT history was a couple of years ago, right around Valentine's Day, when Harper explained to us his plan that year for the young woman that was lucky enough to be Mrs. Harper at that time. You know, he was going to get, well, I got to say enough that he remembers this, but I can't say enough to where I steal his thunder.
Waffle House.
Yeah, buddy. Oh, yeah. So a couple of years ago, one of your more memorable early splashes on the show was where you regaled us of your Valentine's Day plans with your current, well, then girlfriend. What were you going to do with this young lady on Valentine's Day?
Waffle House was like gonna have like a special Valentine's Day dinner. I was gonna take it to Waffle House. How fucking hilarious would that shit been, bro? You get your hash browns and there's your fucking eggs and you just, you know, set the fucking mood.
You get some scattered, smothered, and covered, and then you go home and rip ass while you're trying to. She gets down there to service you, and you blew her hair back with some.
You see? If they had french fries, this shit wouldn't have happened.
Y'all some nasty motherfuckers, man.
I'm just telling you.
Jesus Christ.
You can. I listen to Steve Austin's podcast. He tells me you can eat clean at the Waffle House. And I guess I believe him. I've just never done it.
So. No, you can. Because they have chicken breast. So you can get, like, you know, two chicken breasts and, you know, a side of, you know, you can't get, like, grits and loaded butter and sugar or whatever else you're going to fucking put on it. But if you get chicken breast, yeah, you can eat clean at Waffle House. It's actually an easy place to go to eat clean when you're on the road.
Can you imagine, like, Harper getting a chicken breast and, like, his girl's like, why aren't you getting a waffle and some bacon and shit? Because you're going to be sucking my dick later.
Because your ass is going to be my waffle.
Okay.
But yeah, that was one of those early moments. That was one of those early moments when Harper was new to the show. We were like, and the funny part was, I think he said it off cam. Like, we turned off the recording and we're like, all right, God, what we learned out of all this is to always be recording, because the stuff we say when we go off the air is just as good as the stuff on the air. And so, yeah, there you go. A little trip down BTT memory lane.
Oh, yeah, we generally have some memorable discussions from time to time. That's for sure.
What was the story on it, though? You were going to have to go, like, north of Lake Pontchartrain?
Yeah. It was just the one in fucking Covington. I had to cross the goddamn causeway, but it would have been worth it.
Why do I remember that, first of all? And second of all, like, I may not get, like, my kid's birthday right on some form tomorrow, but I remember that you had to cross a 30-mile lake to pull this gimmick off.
Fucking Waffle House, yeah.
And he ended up not going. That's fucking hilarious.
Nah, I forgot. Yeah, because it was in fucking Covington. I was like, I'm not going to goddamn Covington to fucking pull this shit off.
And you're not with her anymore, so there you go.
Yeah, it worked out great.
You win on every level.
You win. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, boy. Oh, man. All right, everybody. Follow us on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504 Saints. Hardbody Hopper's at CJH. Who dat? Remember the Facebook page, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Check the links in the show notes. All the... like the TeePublic store is there, the Docaholic T-shirt is there, the other T-shirts in the TeePublic store are there as well, along with the Pro Wrestling Tees store. Again, you can get there from the Facebook page, but it should be in the show notes links too. So, I think that's almost it. Listen to the WPAN, the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing, once a week now on Mondays, and I think that's pretty much all I got. Bo James should be back next week though. That's the other thing I keep forgetting. Bo James should be on the show. I'm supposed to record with him tomorrow. So the next 2 weeks should have an interview with Bo James. And I got some more Ron Wright stuff that I want to discuss with him. And some more Tennessee wrestling and Southern wrestling just in general. So, yeah, Bo James will be back, man. So if you enjoyed Bo, guess what? He's coming back to BTT. Doc, anything else before we get out of here?
Well, I just want to say that I haven't forgotten, so I hope that the sickle cell and the AIDS and all the other epidemics are hitting Philadelphia super hard this off season, and I hope y'all all choke on this. And that's about all for me, I guess.
For my buddy Philip Allen out there. Philip, I got this for you. Fuck you, Doc.
That's nice.
No. Here's the thing, man. And this is how much I hate the Eagles. We all know how much I hate the Eagles. And hey, I'm never going to root for you. I mean, you can count on some things in life.
Can we get to the point?
I would rather the Eagles win 6 Super Bowls than celebrate Valentine's Day once.
Damn.
This shit sucks.
Okay. Harper, anything else before we get out of here?
No, let's go.
Yeah, let's get out of here. We'll be plugging some stuff coming up with Wildcat because we're getting closer to WrestleMania. We'll be talking about the WrestleCon show that I should be at. So Harper definitely will be there getting booed. And Doc can't go. His wife won't let him out the house. So
you see that?
Harper.
Fuck.
With all that said, Harper, hit the tagline and take us home.
Book it, bitch.
Welcome to World Class Championship Wrestling from the world famed Sportatorium here in downtown Dallas, Texas, the most famous wrestling arena in the world. We bring you World Class Championship Wrestling. I'm Bill Mercer, and great to have you with us wherever you may be throughout the world.